We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. It's important to always keep in mind for every person, including the great woman, while in life we do many, many things, Hashem gave us a lot of different areas that we need to be involved in. This is not accidental. We have to take care of our body. We have to eat. We have to drink. We have to make sure we're healthy. We have friends. We have a social life. We have to educate ourselves. We have to learn. We have to do chesed. We have a lot of mitzvot to do. We have many areas of life that occupy our time, our energy, our efforts. This is not, again, accidental. Hashem made a human being multifaceted, and a person has to be able to take care of many things. A person cannot close his mind and his life to one area and ignore everything else. We must be able to take care of all the many areas of life. However, one of the reasons, or we'll call it one of the challenges, that this creation that Hashem made for every person creates for every person, the challenge is that you know what is the priority. If Hashem only gave us one or two areas to focus in life and nothing else, then choosing a priority would not be a choice because it would already be chosen for us. However, Hashem gave us many areas to be involved in, some of them not important, and some of them are important. But even then, He did this as part of our free choice in life, that we should choose what is more important, what is less important, and what is not important at all. It's very important to know that. That Hashem gave us in life many areas to be involved in. It is our challenge, and using our free choice, we must know what is more important, less important, or not important at all. I'm talking now before we even do anything. I'm not talking in the world of doing, which areas I'm involved in. I'm talking even before that, as a mindset. A person needs to know first, what is number one? What's number two? What's number three? What's number four? What's number 100? And what's number zero? You must know ahead of time what's considered valuable and what's more valuable. After a person has their priorities clear, it will be now their challenge to channel their time and energy to make sure that they're always putting the right priorities in place in every situation in life. This is one of the great challenges of a human being. This is not a small matter. It's not only for a great woman. It's for every person in life. What differentiates people and what differentiates success? After all, if we look at everybody's life, you will find that we share so much in common. We all eat, we all drink, we all sleep. We all try to take care of our health. We exercise. We have family, we have friends. We work. We have a bank account. We spend money. We make money. There's so many areas that if you would take any person and compare them to another random person, you'd find so much in common. In fact, there are very little things that differentiate between people. Most of the things that we do are actually ones that we have in common with others. So what differentiates between failures, mediocre, or greatness? If we're all involved in the same exact things, the answer is priorities. That is the defining line between success, greatness, and failure. What is your priority in life? That's going to make the difference. I'll give you one simple example, and from there you'll understand many, many thousands and millions of examples. Us Jews, we have a tremendous value called Shabbat. We understand the value of Shabbat on many levels. On the physical level, on the spiritual level, on the social level, on the family level. On the every level, Shabbat is so valuable, so special. We also value money like every person in the world. Nothing wrong with valuing money. Money is important. Money allows us to live a life that we're able to accomplish. Two people value money and value Shabbat. Identical. Until money and Shabbat go head to head. So long as Shabbat can be kept, and so long the money is not an enemy to Shabbat, both values are going to be kept properly. And you will not see a difference. But what happens when money goes head to head with Shabbat? What happens if there's a situation that a person is able to make more money, but Shabbat says, you can't do this today, or other situations? It is there that you will see the person's priorities. While they value both, it is there that they need to decide who is first and who is second. If money is their top priority, then obviously they will trample on the Shabbat for the money. Not because they don't value Shabbat. Wrong. They do value Shabbat. They just don't know which one goes first. Not every person who's mehalel Shabbat, chas v'shalom, doesn't value Shabbat. There are many people who value Shabbat and desecrate the Shabbat on different levels. And it's usually because there's something else that they value that goes against the Shabbat, and they choose tennis over Shabbat. They'll choose money over Shabbat. They'll choose a social environment over Shabbat. It's not that the person doesn't value Shabbat, although we see them perhaps not respecting the Shabbat properly and not doing what they're supposed to do. It's because they have a priority of something else that steps ahead of the Shabbat. I just gave you one example. Even in this example, we can give hundreds of examples. But take this example and take it everywhere, universal in a person's life, and you will realize that it's not the values that differentiate between people and their lives. It's the priority and the order. We all love our children. We all love our families. That's not a value unique to any one person. Question is, where do you put that in the line of priority? Many people put money ahead of everything, including their family. I mean, they'll never say that. They'll never admit it. But if you look at their actions, you will see that many sacrifices were made for extra money. Sometimes you do have to sacrifice your time for money. It's necessary. It's not called a sacrifice. You're doing it for your family. But then there are times when you go past the red line for something not really necessary, and you're giving up something that's more valuable, called your special time with your wife and your children, and just being around and being able to do more with your life at home and perhaps in your community. Because you're taking on new deals that really, at the end of the day, are not going to change your life. There comes a point where a person must say, listen, am I going to spend my whole life traveling and working and making more and more and more and more and more? Or is there something else that's valuable that perhaps I'm trampling on because of something that I am valuing unnecessarily? Again, the fact that we have to work and do and take time from ourselves, that's a necessity. I'm not talking about that. Everybody knows there comes decisions of things that are beyond necessity. The values are not going to determine the result. The priority of the values will determine result. And it is that way with so many areas in life. Knowing what's more important and what's less important and what's not important at all is the key to life success for every man, for every woman, and for every person. Nothing to talk about. So it's very important for every person to know clear what is my number one priority. What defines me? What's second? What's third? The Eshet Chayil must know her priorities in life. She must be aware of what makes her successful. She must know where her legacy is hanging on. The great woman does a lot of things in the house, out of the house. She's helping in Hesed organizations. Maybe she's teaching in schools. Maybe she's involved in helping sick people in hospitals. She has a lot of beautiful things that she's involved in. Obviously, there also may be other mundane things that she's involved in. Her life is full of things. She's shopping for food, for clothing, for the house. How many things can a great woman say she's a part of? Friendships, family, distant family, work. Many women work. On and on and on and on. And we don't hear, sit and say we should take away anything of value that any person is doing. Things that are not valuable, probably worth it to drop. But anything of value is something important, even if it's not the highest value. But you must know, and she must know, where her top priorities are and where will her success be decided and on what rack she's going to hang her legacy. That's very important. That is a big job. How do you go tell another person what's going to be their legacy? What's going to give me the right to tell another person or you to tell another person? What's going to be their number one purpose in life? Seemingly, it's very personal. Maybe each person will have to decide that on their own. But luckily, when it comes to the great woman, the Torah spoke to us very clear and very loud. And there's no doubt. And every woman can open it up and see what their Creator has assigned for them as their number one priority. When we look in the Torah, as we've mentioned, we see by the creation of a woman, that she was created as a Ezer Kenegdo, as one who helps her husband become Tov, become great. That's why she's called an Isha. Torah says, Lezot Yikare Isha. To this creation, referring to the woman, she's going to be called an Isha. Why is she called an Isha? Why can't she give her own unique name? No, says Torah, no. She's not going to get her own unique name. She is going to be connected to the Ish. Ki me'ish loko hazor. The name Isha is describing her connection to her purpose. The first purpose mentioned in the Torah for an Isha is that she's there to make her husband great. Without her, her husband is not going to be able to reach the heights that he could reach. And she needs to know that. She is the engine. She is the Ezer that's going to create the great man. That's what every woman needs to know. That when she's getting married, she's taking a person who is a hazikes, a little bit of a miskin, and she has a mission to lift him. He may not act like a miskin. He may not feel like a miskin. He may act very smart and very macho and very strong and powerful and maybe even give over messages of perfection. But a great woman knows better. She knows her husband is a person that needs a lot of help to make him something great. And she takes on that mission. Marriage is not an equal. Everyone has a job that's unique. Says the Torah, the woman's job is to raise her husband and make him a great man. Truly great. Not what the world necessarily calls great. Her job is not to put him on the cover of Forbes magazine. A job is to make him a truly great human being, a great person of quality, of character, of wisdom, of Yirat Shamayim. This is the woman's job, to take this person and make her great. Make him great. The Torah then tells us one other important factor about this woman, that besides that she's called an Isha, Torah says that Adam named his wife Hava. Why did he name her Hava? Because she is Em Kol Hayim. She's the mother of all living people. Here we see the second priority of a woman in this world, that she will be measured by her motherhood. While it's true that children will have free choice, and no matter what a parent does, the child will still have free choice. But there's also no doubt about the fact that what parents do have a very big influence on their children and their future. That's not a question. The Torah points out that a woman's priority is that she's a mother. Now, of course, in order to fulfill these jobs, she has to be blessed. She has to first be born. If a person's not born, they can't do a job. After she's born, she got to find a husband. You need a beracha for that. You have to pray for that. You have to make hishtadlut for that. You have to prepare for it, to make ourselves ready for that. And a person has to be zocheh to have children. It's also a beracha from Hashem. So obviously, Hashem has to be involved in giving a woman the ability to become what she needs to become. But it's important that a woman prays for those things. It's important when a woman prays to get married, she should understand why she needs to get married. It's a very different prayer when you ask Hashem to get married and they ask you, why I need to be married? So I'm bored. No, not a reason. Why are you married? It's hard for me. My friends are all married. I feel alone. I feel left out. Not a reason to answer your tefillah. We learn that from our tefillos. For example, in Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, we say, Zochrenu lechayim. Hashem, please, I know you're deciding who's going to make it this year, the book of life, who's going to make it to stay alive, what they will have as parnasah for this year. Hashem, you're deciding health. You're deciding what's coming this year in my life. Zochrenu lechayim. Hashem, please, write me in the book of life. Nice. It's a beautiful prayer. But it doesn't end there. It says, Lema'ancha Elohim Chaim. You know why I want you to write me in the book of life? Because I am committing myself to live a life that's consistent with what you created me for. Lema'ancha, for you. I'm not just asking for a year of life so I can go backpacking through Europe and South America and the Far East. I'm not asking for a year of life so I could play more basketball and tennis. I'm not asking for a year of life. I'm not asking for a year of life so I can eat in more restaurants and enjoy more food? If a person wants his tefillot to land, they have to be authentic. Just asking for things is not enough. You have to also ask for them in order to do something with them. The greater you're going to use what you want to get, the more authentic and real is your tefillah. Don't just ask, I want to get married. Why you want to get married? The greater the purpose behind your request, the greater your tefillah. This is for every person. The single woman that pray from the time they're young to get married to the right person need to know what they're praying for. I want to get married because I want to have a nice wedding. That's not a reason to get married. I mean, if we would ask any person in the street, any lady in the street that wants to get married, tell us why you want to get married. A lot of the answers will be off the mark. A woman needs to know that she does need Hashem to bless her. Yes. But she needs to know why she needs to get married. Torah tells us only two reasons. There's no other two. One is to raise a great husband. Whoever thought that a woman is the mechanech of a husband? Husband walks in, thinks he's running the show. But the woman, the great woman, understands he's her project. Don't tell him that. Can't handle it. But he's your project. And number two, you're praying so you can become a mother. That's authentic. An authentic approach to tefillah, to get married. Priorities. Got to add that in your requests. Whether it's herself praying or her mother praying or father praying for her. Why do you want to have children? You're praying for children. For what? Because it's nice. Oh, what's nice? What are you doing with your children? You know, it seems so obvious, the answer to my question. But I'm telling you that most people don't go beyond just the obvious desire of having a child. It's great to have a child. It's nice. It's fun. It's hard work. But it's also a lot of love. There's a lot of light in the house. Okay. Sometimes things are so obvious, they don't think it's necessary to think about them, but it's necessary. Why do you need children? For what reason? Just to keep you occupied? Just to have someone when you get older to help you? Just so you can enjoy your life more because you have reason to enjoy it through them? The reason to have a child is to raise a great child. To raise a magnificent person of beautiful character, of wisdom, of holiness, purity, to bring a light bulb into the world. You're given a light bulb and you gotta turn him on. That's why you need to have a child. But Hashem blessed you with that baby. You have to know that's your number one priority. Says the Torah, these are the two main priorities of a woman. We already spoke about the first one, Ezer Kenegdo. But it's important to focus on the mother part of the Eshet Hayil. If you look at Eshet Hayil, you will see that the one who signs off on her success in life. You know, when you go to school and you finish successfully, you have on the bottom of your diploma a signature, sometimes two, sometimes three. You have the Rosh Yeshiva sign. It's okay, you are excellent. The principals are signing. They don't ask any random person to sign the certificate. Who signs the certificate is the person that is going to determine what took place in this person's life in school. Who signs off on the Eshet Hayil? After Shlomo HaMelech describes the great attributes of Eshet Hayil, who signs off? Kamu Baneha by Asheruha. Who gives the Ishur? Who's giving the sign off? Kamu Baneha. Her children get up and they speak of how fortunate they are to have such a woman in their life. Bala, her husband, he gets up, vehalela, and he praises her. What about the school she was teaching in? She taught 50 years. She had many students. No, they don't sign on the Eshet Hayil. What about all the chesed that she did? All the great work she did to help the community. She was all over, helping every person. Important. First one is important. Now how important our great teachers are. I don't mention these examples to belittle the opposite. I'm saying how important. How important is a teacher who spends her life teaching young people? Helping others, chesed, Chinese auctions, running from place to place. So valuable, so important. Are the heads of the chesed organizations signing on her? No. How about her boss, where she works and she was so successful? She brought a lot of money, a lot of parnasah into the home. He's not signing on the Eshet Hayil. It's very important to know who are the signatures here. Only two signatures. Not her sister, not her sister-in-law, not her mother-in-law. All important relationships. It's amazing. Nobody's signing on this. Doesn't say anywhere here that her sister's stand up and they praise her. Her mother-in-law gets up and says, wow, so lucky to have a daughter-in-law like this. Very important to know this. It's not a, this is very well thought out. Banea number one. First, her children. It doesn't mean because they know her more. Is that what it means?
Oh, God,
it's because they're the ones that could testify. Because she was a great mother to them. Bala v'yalela. Not her rabbi. Nobody else.
How important is this? She has many, many, many important things she does in her life. And again, I want to make sure we're clear. I didn't say any example to belittle the example. In fact, I chose important things on purpose because she should continue to do all these important things. Because Hashem gave us many things to do in life. But we have to know the priorities. Sometimes, when you don't know the priorities, a woman can be so exhausted from helping everyone else. She's exhausted for her husband and for her children. That's not a good model. You can't be exhausted from everything you're doing and leave little energy for your priorities. Sometimes it's very hard. And of course, there's going to be days that are going to be exhausted. Not necessarily right now telling her the schedule has to change. Yes, she has to go to work. But we're talking about a priority in mindset. The message that has to be coming out of a woman, even if she's working, even if she's involved in many things, the message has to be, I would love to be with you home all day. That's the message. What can I do? I have to work. What can I do? My mother needs me. What can I do? My neighbor needs me. But if I could, I'd be with you every second. I'd be invested fully in my husband and in my children, if I could. I know that I can't. That's not the way Hashem made the world. I have to do many other things. But it has to be clear. The message has to come out that way. Not that, no, I have a career. And that's a priority for me. No, your career is not a priority. It's something you need to do. But if you could have put away your career and sit at home, you'd rather do that. That needs to be the feelings, despite the fact that we're doing so many other things. It's a very important principle. And even if we're doing other things, what's the message? That what's important to me, my priority, is the chesed that I do, the people that I teach, the business that I'm involved in. No, I may spend a lot of time there because I need to. I have to. But my priority is you people here. With the right mindset, if that's the right mindset, for sure there's going to be implications. For sure decisions will be made differently, where we don't get lost in all the different areas of life. I go to classes. I learn. Great, beautiful. Your rabbi is not signing off on you. You need to go to class. It's part of the important things of life. But it's not the priority. It's amazing. So when that comes against husband and children, you got to take, no, you got to put that aside. You got a priority. That's why the Torah tells us that women are exempt from mitzvot aseh she'azman gerama. Unbelievable. Any positive mitzvah which is can tie to time, women are exempt. Why? Why are they exempt? Because their time is already taken. Their time is committed. You can't tie them up to time. They have priorities. So I can't say, drop everything and do this. A man, the Torah says, drop everything. Do this. I don't care what you're doing. Do this now. Right now, you got to do lulav. Now you got to sit in the sukkah. Move out of your house. Go live in the sukkah. But I'm busy. It doesn't matter. Drop it all. Go there. By the woman, she can't drop it all. It's her main function in life.
She can't drop her full-time job of being an Isha and being an Ima. Torah says, exempt.
Unbelievable shift from the street. Today's street is totally opposite this. It's totally trying to make a woman feel hashuv out of the house. It's like second class or less important. Oh, you're like, oh, you have children, you're a housewife. That's like, you have to sit out quietly in the street today.
I'm a housewife. Say it without them hearing it. You feel unaccomplished.
So what are you doing? What do you do in your life? What does that mean? You're a housewife. What do you do? That is completely opposite of what makes a great woman. That's why we need to learn about Eshet Chayil. Because whatever we grew up around and imagine, just because of the atmosphere, is totally opposite. Yes,
everybody values children. Everyone values a husband. But we don't even realize how the priorities are supposed to be aligned. This is the great purpose of a great woman. So valuable is this woman. I saw a story about a great rabbi from Top Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael who had a very, very special young man who was looking for a shidduch, and they offered him a shidduch with a great young lady. However, there was a big question that he couldn't answer himself. While she was a great young lady, her father was, let's call him, not so great. He was like an off-the-derech type of guy. So the mashkia of the yeshiva didn't know what to do. Great girl, father not so great. He went to visit Rav Shach, alav shalom, to ask him, what should he do? Rav Shach told him, tell me, how is her mother? So the rabbi says, her mother, tzadeket, she's right, she's a wonderful woman, a real star. So Rav Shach told him, akol olef ahara ima. He says, the mother will determine this girl's future. A mother, usually a woman, a child, is going to follow her mother. And he quotes himself a story. Rav Shach says himself, he was once with the Briska Rav, alav shalom, and they saw a family of young boys that looked very refined.
We read that.
And Rav Shach tells the Briska Rav, we know the father of these kids, he's not particularly refined. How do you get such unbelievable kids? So Briska Rav told him, I don't understand your question. What's so hard to understand? You know how great their mother is. There's no questions.
is a great mother, no questions. She's the ima. The priority of raising a family ultimately is on her lap. That's her priority. In fact, she needs to raise her husband so she can help her children too. That's why we see the great Devorah. Devorah was an unbelievably accomplished woman. Devorah was a leader in the Jewish people. In the history of Am Yisrael, we had some woman leaders. Devorah is one of them. She was a Nevi'ah. She was a prophetess. God spoke to her. She was a judge. She even went out to war. Unbelievable. And she sang a famous song. One of the great songs in the history of the Jewish people. Batashar Devorah. Devorah sang a song about the great battle that they had against the enemy. And they beat them. And in that song, she writes about what was before the battle. That things were somewhat gloomy in our nation. And then she says, Ad Shakamti Devorah, until I, Devorah, stood up. Doesn't sound very humble. And then someone says, you know, things were not going well until I got up there. I took charge and I changed everything. Hey, relax. I'm saying I. But that's what she says. At Shakamti Devorah. Until I got up. Shakamti Em BeYisrael. I that got up. I who is a mother in the Jewish nation. What's going on? What is that after anything? She brought her mother with her to the battle? What does that have to do with the salvation of the Jewish people? But perhaps that is one of the greatest messages in this song. And that's why she's saying, I, Devorah, got up. You're probably looking at me and saying, oh, wow, Devorah, what a life accomplishment. Can't believe it. You won the war. You were the savior of the Jewish people. The salvation of Am Yisrael came through you. What's going to be written on her tombstone? The one who saved the Jewish people. What does that mean? She says, no. Just remember something. Shakamti Em BeYisrael. You're looking at me, Devorah, that I stood up and I led the victory to this battle. And you think that this is what makes me special? No. Shakamti Em BeYisrael. There's nothing greater that I accomplished. On my tombstone, you're not writing about this battle. You're not writing about being the savior of the Jewish people. You're not writing about that. I don't want that. I don't want that on my tombstone. Because I want something greater on my tombstone. Shakamti Em BeYisrael. All of what I accomplished is very nice. But there's nothing greater than my motherhood. So she's pointing out to make sure nobody reads the song and makes a mistake. That Devorah got up and Devorah, who's Devorah? Who's Devorah? The president, the commander-in-chief, the prophet. No. Shakamti Em BeYisrael. That is my number one priority. That's what I want written on my tombstone. Nothing else. Shakamti Em BeYisrael. And that's why, and I'll finish with this. That's why when we talk about the Mialedot, talk about the midwives that Paro commanded in Egypt to kill the Jewish boys at birth. Torah tells us that they ended up saving their lives. They put their life at risk to save these children. Torah tells us their names. Asher Shema Ahat Shifra. One of them, her name was Shifra. And the other one is called Pu'ah. These were the two midwives that helped the Jewish woman give birth. Comes Hachamim Rashi Alav HaShalom, quotes it. He says, by the way, these are actually very familiar women to us. They're not just random women, Shifra and Pu'ah. We know them already. Says Rashi, Shifra Zo Yocheved. That's Yocheved, Moshe's mother. Pu'ah Miriam, Moshe's sister. So why did they give them different name? So here the Torah is not naming them after their name, naming them after something great, something special that they accomplished. So why is she called Shifra? She meshaperet et avalon, which means she would take the child that came out, she saved his life, and she would massage him, she would straighten out his limbs, she would make him comfortable. Pu'ah. Why is Miriam called Pu'ah? She Pu'ah umedaberet vehogah leyilad. She would sing to the child. She would talk to the child. He's crying. He's not feeling good. Whatever it is, she had that way to appease him and make him feel comfortable. Now, let's think about what just happened. Yocheved and Miriam, first of all, these are Nevi'ot. God speaks to them. So you want to give them a name? Think about a name like Nevi'ah. Besides, they saved the children's lives. They risked their lives to save their life. Call them Hatzalah. Call them Refu'ah. What are the things that are being pointed out? Out of all their accomplishments, they coined their name after what seemingly is a very small part of their accomplishment. The fact that they straightened out the limbs of the child, or they were singing to the child to calm him down. But again, if we have that question, it's because our priorities are messed up. There is nothing greater than being a mother to a child. You saved their lives. No, being a mother is greater. God speaks to you. No, being a mother is greater. You're going around in a Hatzalah truck all day. I know, being a mother is greater. There's nothing greater than being a mother to your children or to somebody else's child. And that is the name that the Torah chose. The greatest badge of honor for a woman. From all the great things, this is the main one. Shifra and Pu'ah. They were a mother to the children. That was something so special and so great that the woman can do. There's nothing higher or better than that. That is the number one priority for a woman who has the merit to get married and to have a child. She needs to know that is going to be the signature on her life. Kamu baneha. Rabbi, nothing else. Have a wonderful day.